Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Close to a bitches.
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, but yeah.
5-15-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey. Hey, guys. Hey. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. Hey.
If I could have a superpower, it'd be flames out of these eyes.
.985 The Sports Hub. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You heard the audio yesterday. I had a purported neighbor of our good friend, the Gunner, tell me that he had passed away in the very early morning of Saturday. He'd been battling cancer. He died in his sleep, and you would think, Fred, why did you believe him? Well, he attached a picture of the Gunner in his military garb as a young gunner. And so you can go to @FredTutcher on Instagram and see the Gunner when he was just a young buck.
That's awful. So have you found out anything about, I don't know, I just, has it been, is he the only one who's been saying it so far, this guy? And I know that obviously if he's got a picture of him, he probably knows him pretty well, but
I mean, who else would say anything? I mean, who else knows the Gunner?
I just want to make sure it's not a Nikki Sixx situation where we're saying that he's dead and he's not actually dead.
Well, I would imagine that the guy knew his real name. The guy had a picture of him in his military garb.
Well, that stinks. If he passed away, the Gunner was the best. And for a lot of people who are newer fans of the show, you might not have ever known what a legend this guy was. But, I mean, he weighed, you know, probably 100 pounds soaking wet. And he was this guy who always called in. As a matter of fact, that when people call into the show and they say, "Hey, guys, hey," that is from Gunner and how he used to call in. It was,
"Hey, guys, hey."
He would say, "Hey, guys, hey, listen." And then he would go into his conversation.
A jawful penny drinking.
Yeah, so he, yeah, I mean, he was.
"Hey, guys."
He would come up to the station. By the way, why is that cutting off before the last thing? I have like a whole pot here that cuts off before the end of the
clip. Do you have his Adolfo panty drinking contest? Because he would come in and he'd be intoxicated, and we would say, like, there'd be a girl, this is BCN, there'd be like a girl in studio, and then she'd be like, "Hi, Gunner," and he'd go, "Hey, Adolfo with the drinking kind." Like, he
loved Adolfo.
He always would just talk about Adolfo.
Nada, nada, natty ice. Natty, natty, natty ice.
He loved natty ice.
And Liggett cigarettes.
He loved Liggett's. And he was a big fan of, he liked Adolfo. And I remember one time we did one of Dating on Demand with him. And
if I could have a superpower, it'd be flames out of these eyes.
So I'm very careful on what clips I can play here. Because there's some of them I don't know whether or not that would be the best thing to do.
We can play them.
No, some of them we can't.
Thank you, Mushy, everyone.
Thank you, Mushy. There's some of them, as a matter of fact, there's some I know we can't play. That's why I'm a little scared.
Can you give me an example?
Yeah, there's some of the Christmas songs we can't play.
Okay. But we could play them at BCN?
We did play them at BCN.
Okay.
I think that some times have changed.
Do you just have, I just want to hear the clip of him saying anything about Adolfo.
Okay, well, there's the end of this one when he did some Christmas songs for us. This one I know we can play because we've played it before.
'Twas the night before Christmas, all through the whole house, when I heard a crasher screaming, something was shitting. So I took out my from my bitches. And you know, there's a, there's a Duffo Dick and his friend Tony McGee, and all your bitch slapses. Oh, reindeer, don't back up, Duffo. What the hell were you thinking about, dude? And don't think the Vice Squad's gonna come here and with our ashes. Oh, how the whorehouse from whore, Adolfo.
Okay,
that was him doing a off the cuff Christmas song.
I think we did that 2 years in a row where it was just a Gunner Christmas. And Gunner would just come in and sing Christmas carols. We would just play Christmas music. He'd make up his own words as
that
he went.
Was, that was just everything. Adolfo!
He loved Adolfo. He did. And he was the star of, we used to have these things, these TNR cruises where we would just do the little one where we'd go around the Harbor Islands and it was a booze cruise. And Gunner was the star. Like, you would just give him the microphone and he was the master of ceremonies and everyone loved the Gunner. And that stinks if he has passed away, because he was a good guy. We saw him years later, and he actually looked pretty good. I mean, relatively, he had gotten a lot healthier, and so yeah, that's sad if he's passed. As a matter of fact, there was even a TNR shirt that we had with Gunner's picture on it.
Him mowing the lawn.
It said, "I like to mow the lawn in a plaid shirt," because he used to talk about how he used to go and mow his lawn, and he sent us a picture, and it was just it was a beautiful photo. It was like art. It was something that should have been in a museum, and it's him sitting there, and he's got like a cool Natty Ice sitting on the top of his riding lawnmower, just enjoying the day.
Because I know being part of your show brought great joy, it brought him great joy, and that he would want to thank, and he would have wanted to thank both of you. Thank you both and all of his fans for the great memories and laughs along the way.
Yeah, he was great. He was awesome. And I hope he had like a spot on this like lake.
Yeah, he had a very strange thing going on where he lived. Apparently he lived on this incredible parcel of land.
I've seen it. I've been to his place. And so he lived on this lake that everywhere around him, all of these, like, some developer came in and said, "What are we doing? This is a gorgeous area. We could probably get, like, tons of money if we build some houses here." So what they did was they bought out most of the neighborhood, and they ended up knocking down these older houses that were there and built these massive ones. And Gunner's just like, "I'm not going to sell." He's like, "Ah, I'm good. I like my house as is." So, like, in the middle of all these nice houses, he could have gotten, like, probably over $1 million for his land. And he's just like, I think I'm going to stay here. And there's this tiny little, I don't want to say it was a shack, but it was just a tiny little house amongst all these amazing like McMansions that they had built around him, just because he didn't want to change. This is the way he liked his house the way it was. And he lived there, I think, by himself for years upon years.
And the best is when we switch signals, when we flip to the sports hub, he could no longer listen to the show because he didn't know how to turn the dial. So he was still listening to whatever was on the 104.1 signal.
Right, he just stayed there.
Yeah. And he would call that morning show, and they didn't really know what to do with
it. How to deal with it, yeah.
Yeah, so it was too much for him to... And then we would call him, and we would tell him, "Hey, we're on 98.5, and he was like, "Okay, sure."
Did Gunner come to the 10th anniversary show?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's right. He was there. Just that there was so much stuff going on at the 10th anniversary show.
You didn't spend enough time with him.
I didn't. We were running around doing other stuff.
Yeah, you should have spent more time.
Would have been nice.
Now that time is gone.
Yep. What did we do?
He came on stage.
Okay, I remember that. Was he with Dungeon Master Jim?
I don't know.
Okay, because I mean, so much was going on.
Yeah,
I forget what happened there with him.
I mean, does it really matter? He was there. He had his day in the sun. Yeah. He got to go out with a bang. So there you go. Rest in peace to the Gunner. We think.
maybe we should get confirmation.
I don't. I mean, what?
Well, we've been told. We've been told that.
No, you have been told nothing. This is all on me.
I'm thinking by the end of the show, if you are wrong, we will find out.
Yeah, I don't think
there'll be enough people who hear this. You'll find out the truth if you are incorrect.
I don't know. Well, then this guy's a genius because he knows the gunner's real name and he has a picture of him in military garb. So I don't think it's, you know, you can Google the gunner and have his.
Google his real name then. I mean, there's got to be an obituary.
What's the end game for saying it? Oh, I got Fred really good. What's the end game for it?
I don't know. But I mean,
he just gave the first name. He didn't give the last name.
Oh, okay. I think I know his last name.
Okay.
So give me his first name because I actually don't know his first name. Because I think I know. Because I believe I have him like in my phone. Like I could, but I don't know. Maybe I do know his first name. Jeez, it's been a while. It's been since the 10th anniversary show that we've talked to him, I think.
Do you always get an obituary no matter what?
No, but most of the time the family will put something in the paper just to let them know where the services are going to be. And I mean,
I'm not positive he had a family around here.
We had to have somebody.
I don't know. It was his neighbor that reached out to me. So I'm going to guess it's true. If it's not, then my bad. But it would be, it's just a random thing and had to have that kind of information. But in lieu of flowers, buy stock and Liggett's.
Yeah. Go get yourself a Natty Ice and get yourself some of the finest cigarettes known to man.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Liggett's.
Hey.
I don't even know how you could start smoking Liggett's. how it would even occur to you to start smoking Liggett's.
Are they even that much less expensive than other ones?
I don't know. Cigarettes are so expensive now, I have no idea. But, I mean, I guess you would have to go give me the cheapest cigarette you have.
Yeah. To be honest, I couldn't even tell you how much a pack is now. I know it's gratuitous. I remember when I was a kid, my parents used to send me out to go get, a carton of Vantage. And at that point, I think it was, $10 for, a carton.
Yeah,
And now it's $5-6 a pack?
I think it's, $10 a
pack. Is it $10 a pack?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad smoked Merits, and so that's what I smoked, starting at 15.
So that would make a carton $100 now?
I don't even know if you can sell cartons anymore. I'm not positive you can even do that. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
Oh, the Red Sox. What a disaster. It seems like they thought they had fixed their problem before the game, and hey, surprise, they didn't. On top of that, we will get to what was one of the best upsets in sports in a long, long time.
All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
On the Sports Hub app.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Dutcher and Rick.
It's a real nightmare.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Dutcher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, after this trash basket of a season, Dave Dombrowski finally figured out what the big problem has been this entire time.
In spring training and our catching, we had a really split camp on what move we were going to make. We debated it long and hard. Finally decided to go in this direction because it actually is finally my decision. It ended up being a spot where we also thought we might get Leon through waivers, which we did, so we could have some depth. But then as we got here at this point, there's only one move you can make, and it's with Swihart if you're going to replace him. And so for us, we just figured we wanted to bring Leon up to handle our pitching staff.
Yes, it was Blake Swihart the whole time. So let's bring
the GM spent maybe 5 minutes trashing Blake Swihart. Oh, we tried to trade him for 2 years, and you know what? We were split on whether or not to keep him on the Major League roster to begin with. I mean, talk about kicking a guy out the door. My God.
A guy who was misused from day one.
They're carrying 13 pitchers. I mean, it's ridiculous. They had to play Vasquez at second base.
Well, let's bring up the guy batting a whopping 120 in Pawtucket, Sandy
Leon. He hit 120 during the majors last year.
Problem solved.
So Sox will have to overcome a deficit again. This guy has some power. He hit 20 home runs at AAA last year. Ground ball underneath the glove of the Diamond Moreland down the line. Betts giving chase to the corner. Romine hitting third base. They're going to wave him in. He's going to try and score. And the throw won't get him. Another run is home down to third, Talkman. And the Yankees lead it 4-0.
Well, Sale hit 97, so that's a plus.
Austin Romine, I think, scored from first base on that double and or triple into the corner. I think I can run faster than Austin Romine. I'm almost convinced of it.
Well, Chris Sale gets rocked once again, and the Red Sox lose another one. 8-0, the final score to the Yankees. Sale gave up 4 runs on 7 hits and a walk in 5 innings. He's now 0-4 with an 850 ERA. Well, that's not good.
And by the way, his ERA went down.
Yeah.
It
was yesterday.
Like 9. He gave up 4 runs in 5 innings, and his ERA went down.
As for the team savior, Sandy Leon.
Runner goes. Swing and a miss. Here's the throw down by Leon. It's going to go off into center field. Judge is up and running into third. The throw is behind him, and he's safely into third base. So Voit strikes out, but Judge winds up at third.
That surprised everybody that Judge took off. He picks up his second steal of the season. He goes on a breaking ball. There's no contact on that pitch. It's a good pitch, but then the throw from Leon looks like Nunez gets caught up with Judge, trying to jump over the slide. And then Judge pops up and goes to third base. And that ball almost got away from Devers.
So second stolen base is also an error on the play charged to Sandy Leon.
That's Nesson, by the way. All fairness, it sucks that this guy is being brought up and all the pressure's on him. Because Dan Shaughnessy actually said it this morning. The Red Sox always love to look for their scapegoat. And now it's like okay, Leon, now that you're here, you better fix everything.
All right. His slugging percentage last year was under 300. He hit 177. He was 0-3 with 2 strikeouts and had a throwing error. I'm fairly certain Blake Swihart could have done that. I'm fairly certain Blake Swihart could have struck out a couple of times. Oh, but the pitchers love him. The pitching staff loves Sandy Leon. I can't imagine what Dave Dombrowski was thinking when he's sitting up in his office, like nodding his head like, yep. Reinvented the wheel.
Well, they
Sandy
had,
Leon.
They had all they had to do is that they had Vasquez playing second base. I mean, they have to realize that there's an incredible shortage of positional players on this team, and you could play Swihart. I mean, he would just be a platoon player
anywhere,
a platoon player that could catch.
Yeah, you could put Swihart at first, third, and rare. Left and right. Catch him.
He's gonna get picked up, and he's like a super utility guy. He's the Jose Oquendo.
Well, the nightmare did not end there.
You've got Hicks and Stanton, Sanchez and Duhar all injured right now, the 2-0. High deep drive right field. Kiss this one goodbye. It is gone into the second deck. Talkman with a 3-run homer. That is the first home run of his career.
Now, this is downright embarrassing. If you play for 2 more runs, you end up getting 3 with the home run. Little spinner again does nothing. Second deck.
7-0.
They might start playing New York now.
Well, you can't stop the Talkman.
Wasn't Sale, though. That was Erasmus. Whatever the guy's name was.
They
called him up to get beat up last night.
As I said, I mean, Sale was gone by that point. But, I mean, just it was one embarrassing moment after the next. By the way, per the Elias Sports Bureau, which are 5 words that make John Wallach not able to stand up.
Oh, I saw this last night.
This is the worst Red Sox starting ERA through 18 games ever. Their previous mark was set at 6.96, set in 1931. That was when old Lefty Saddlebottoms danced the ragtime jig after every win. Well, right now, the rotation ERA is at 7.18. So, I mean, this team's just lighting it up.
Lefty Saddlebottoms?
Lefty Saddlebottoms, sure. Okay. you know? Come on. He would be out in the field doing the old tap dance. Well, sure. Here's Chris Sale on how bad he's been as of late.
Like I said, I don't know. I got to find a way to pitch better. I mean, this is flat out embarrassing for my family, for my team, for our fans. This is about as bad as.
And as if the self-flagellation and Opus Dei-esque whipping wasn't bad enough, he continued.
This sucks. Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just flat out stink right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, when you're going good, it's good. When you're going bad, it's pretty bad. So, you know, hey, show up tomorrow, put on the shoes, and get back after it.
Yep. There you go. Get back after it.
He was actually better last night. The numbers don't bear it out, and the Red Sox would have lost. They weren't going to get hit off James Paxton if they had 24 innings to try. They were going to get blown out. It was an ugly outing. We already detailed this. Chris Sale was better last night.
He threw harder.
You know, had it up to 97, was throwing 95 in the fifth inning. You know, he was one pitch away from getting out of that second inning without giving up any runs, and then he gave up that typical Yankee Stadium home run to that guy, Frazier, who had a 350-foot fly ball that landed on top of the fence in right center, but that's Yankee Stadium.
As opposed to left field at Fenway, which is very far away.
But again, we have this argument every time we go through this, Fred. At least at Fenway, at left, if you hit that fly ball, it's going to hit the wall and you get a double. That Yankee Stadium's right field and right center field is shorter than most ballparks in the majors. I looked it up. The majority of ballparks in the majors, 20 or 25 of them, that fly ball is an out. That fly ball is 40 feet short of the, or 30 feet short of the bullpen wall in right field, right center field. It's just the way it is. Both teams play the dimensions. I get it. My only point in bringing this up is that Chris Sale was better than the numbers indicated. He deserved to lose. The Red Sox are going to lose. He was going to fall to 0-4. It didn't matter. My only point is Sale was better last night, and he got done in by a mistake on a 1-2 pitch with the two guys on in the second inning when he gave up a couple of runs, and then Frazier hits a pop fly homer off the top of the wall.
And what's amazing is, as bad as the Red Sox have played, I mean, you've got the Yankees, Baltimore, and Toronto with only one win more than the Red Sox are at right now. So they're still just four games back. Now, Tampa Bay, of course, is just killing it. I mean, they're running away with it right now. But, I mean, you look at the division. I mean, they could be in a lot worse shape than they are, believe it or not. At 6-12, it doesn't look that dire, which is amazing to say. But do you have any kind of faith that after that move yesterday that anybody has any idea how to fix this? Because that just seemed like a desperation move
yesterday. It was a desperation move, and the only thing I can say for sure is that Chris Sale took a step forward last night. Other than that, I have no idea. Mookie, and we were talking about paying attention to details. Mookie Betts hit a ground ball to third base he thought was going to be foul, was slow getting out of the box, and then was just jogging up the line. Urshela, I don't know who that guy is. Urshela fell down throwing the ball over to first and still got Mookie by a step because Betts was too busy watching the ball down the line. That is typical of what the Red Sox have done these first 18 games. Attention to detail. Alex Cora said it multiple times, and still this team messes up. They still don't do the little things that'll get them ahead. Maybe if Betts gets on base, you get two runners on base, and maybe you have an inning there. But you don't because Betts is out at first.
Even Dan Roach got like kind of emo last night.
He doesn't like it when they're playing like this.
Well, not that he does.
He's probably a Swihart guy too.
He probably was
lunch pail kid. Could play all the positions. Takes it on the chin.
But can anyone recall a more bizarre start to a season for a defending World Series champion that has basically everyone back than the 2019 Red Sox? Alex Cora isn't any different. Starters may be fatigued, command issues, no timely hits, etc. Baseball gods have turned on them. Now he's bringing God into this. I don't like that.
Yeah, baseball gods, the true God. there's going to be a rapture, and the only people left are going to be the ones playing catch.
Yeah, well, at 6-12, this is also the Red Sox' worst 18-game start since Kevin Kennedy's Warriors went 3-15 in 1996.
Jeez, I remember that.
There you go. So who wants some more baseball? Okay. At least we get another early start tonight at 6:35. Do not mind the early starts.
And no one will be watching.
Nope.
Yeah, no. Zero people will be watching.
So is puck drop at 7 for the Bruins and then 8:30 for the Celtics,
No,
right?
Celtics play at 7.
Both games are at
7.
Okay, I thought they got screwed. I thought for some reason it's Friday that they're 8:30. That's
right.
Yeah,
Friday's at 8:30.
Oh, so you got both starting right at 7. All right. Well, that's going to be a... Do they make picture-in-picture anymore? Because remember how back in the day used to be the thing? Like, I actually wouldn't mind that, to be quite honest.
I can't. How can you focus on the small picture in the corner?
It's just you keep your eye on it.
You're just going to have to make a decision.
Yeah.
I know John's decision. In case he gets called off the bench, you got to go Celtics tonight.
Oh, I'm going Celtics tonight. Yeah. I would, regardless of whether I was called off the bench or not, I would have gone Celtics tonight.
Yeah, you're going Celtics. Yep. You and Rich are going Celtics tonight.
And you will go Bruins.
Yes.
And there's big chunks that you get to switch over.
Yeah.
You know, big 20-minute chunks.
Yeah, you flip over. I'll watch the Bruins at halftime.
Because you got to be ready.
Just in case.
In case Grandy, like, breaks his leg or something.
Sure.
Wink, wink.
Horrible bus accident.
Well, you don't want a bus because there are people on it.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, maybe
a single car crash, perhaps.
like a one man bus.
Well, he would be in a cab then. Still,
it would have to
be like a pedestrian thing where he got hit by a car.
I see.
Or like he's at like one of his wrestling matches he likes to go to at the high schools, and like a lone shard from a table that was smashed over someone's head just goes into his throat. You know, there you go.
Right. There are so many people around here that like wrestling. It's really
odd.
It is odd. This business tends to bring out the wrestling fans.
Matter of fact, I think everybody, unless you are like a host, loves wrestling here. Like almost everyone who's not an actual host on the station is obsessed with wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Like, yeah. I every one of the weekends, you know, like a week, like, you know, weekend hosts.
Well, there's even like a hierarchy of wrestling fans and who gets to do what. And right now there's a lone rebel that's, you know, he's just using his own connections. Yeah.
Jay Stu.
I'm holding a crystal ball with all you in it. You're just rats in a cage.
That's right. He's the one running the game.
That's right.
Deciding their wrestling fates.
The Saturday night match is before WrestleMania. I'm in the front row, bitches. I guess WrestleMania was like 7 hours long.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what does it start at, 5, the pay-per-view? Yeah, it starts at 5 and goes to like 1.
Yeah, it's a lot. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, let's get to the Bruins. They've got obviously a big game tonight, and Bruce Cassidy spoke about his plans and whether or not he's going to switch up the lines. And just, I couldn't believe what I was seeing last night. One of the biggest upsets in sports history.
Oof. I think we're overblowing this a little bit.
I don't think so, man.
It's a big upset, but not in the top 5, I don't think.
Top 5?
No.
Not in the top give me anything.
It is a borderline historic team that got swept in the first round.
Yeah, that's never happened. That is certainly a landmark event in the NHL playoffs.
But the Kings beat the President's Trophy winners.
It's not President's Trophy. It's a near historic, 4 points away from being the best regular season hockey team of all time.
A top 5 upset is ridiculous. In sports,
I'm not saying it's a top 5 upset, but it might be the top, it's definitely top 2 or 3 in hockey. In NHL?
Okay. Okay. I'll give you that.
I mean, I'll have to think about it being like the whole pantheon of sports, but in the NHL...
In the pantheon of sports, it doesn't compare to...
Well, during the break, think of one that's bigger, because I'm having a hard time.
Buster Douglas. In the pantheon of sports?
In the pantheon of sports,
1980. Buster Douglas. Buster Douglas, 1980, U.S. hockey team beats the Russians. Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson.
The only thing I would argue with on that is that that's one game, one bout, and anything can happen game.
Okay. Virginia losing in the first round.
Now, that's ridiculous. This is bigger than Virginia.
That one I sided with Rich on. We had this discussion
yesterday. You guys are out of your minds. I mean, the Columbus Blue Jackets made a lot of moves. And by the way, I wouldn't want to play them right now.
No, they're going to be tough. They're going to be really tough. This is not going to be a cakewalk if the Bruins run.
And by the way, they have an all-world goaltender.
Yeah, who, the third period when Tampa was pressing really made the difference.
Right.
Yes.
And so let's not get crazy. All right, here are the headlines.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little...
Ah, dang it, wait.
Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
App.
Whiskey, donuts, hot sauce, candy. Matt Schaefer has you covered with the Sports Hub Grub Podcast. 98.5 thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 the Sports Hub.
.985 to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. So I know how what goes on with the Avengers and how it ends. I'm not. I don't
know if that's 100% true because
I do.
Well, that thing's been out for like a week. I mean, there's been spoiler. The spoiler's been out for.
No,
like
I know. I know what it, I know. I'm right.
Okay. But, well, there's been spoilers.
No, I got it from someone in California. someone who's seen the movie. And someone who's has the script, so I'm not lying to you. I'm not going to say anything on the air, but I'm torturing Nick. The main thing is that I'm going to torture Nick with it.
Well, there's one that's been going around for like a week now that's been online, and it may be true, it may not be true.
The one online is not true.
Okay. The one online is not true. All right.
There's one online that has particular scenes in it that are correct. But it's not the first of all, I can't understand half of the things that happen.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, the one thing about this thing that's going around, and like, and in years past, I know The Last Jedi had something that leaked out. I believe the Infinity War did too, but I just remember specifically with the last two Star Wars movies, something leaked out, and it ended up being like 10% right. It had a bunch of stuff that was completely wrong, but there was like one small element that was right. But the thing that was right is something that anyone could have guessed. Like it was like, you know, that a main character dies. Like I think for The Last Jedi, it was like, well, Luke Skywalker dies, but then all the stuff that was around it had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah, this is.
And I think people could have guessed that because they are trying to kill off all the older characters.
No, this is a writer who's written for, who's been a showrunner for two network sitcoms. Who saw the movie and who has the script.
And I will say this, if they find out who that person is, they're never going to work again. Like, I mean, they are really, no joke, they made these people sign these non-disclaimers, like anyone who saw the movie. Matter of fact, I believe until next week, anyone who has had access to the movie has had to sign this thing where Marvel Studios can basically sue you for everything if you end up leaking out any sort of details from it. So it's like one of those things that if they find out, matter of fact, even like the Russo brothers, the directors of the film, put out this letter yesterday saying, hey, if there's some spoilers out there, don't spoil the movie, blah, 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 blah. But that's because even the people who are on the press tour, they talked about it, how like at night it would keep them up. Did I accidentally say something that might have given away a detail because they could be sued for everything?
Right. I don't know how anyone, when I tell Nick, I don't know how anyone would find out who the person is. I don't think there's any way they could.
Is it like one of those things you're going to tell Nick like one thing a day, like in an offhanded comment where he has no idea it's coming?
Well, he's absolutely paranoid right now, which is I'm enjoying a lot. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head because I don't understand.
Right.
Like
the context.
Boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
The hell's going on. Crawling around. I don't know half the people's names.
Well,
boxes are crawling around. There's your spoiler.
No, I can tell you that the Ant-Man.
Right.
He's in that thing.
Is the Wasp in this thing too?
Well, the Ant-Man, the last you saw him, he was stuck as a tiny little molecule. He got zapped inside this little thing. And then that's when Thanos snapped his fingers and the people who were supposed to get him out had disappeared. So you thought that forever he was going to be stuck in there. But then, oh, he's in the trailer. So you know he's in the movie.
Huh. Yeah. So, young Nicholas, you better stay on my good side, my friend, or else I'm telling you everything.
All right, go ahead.
Well, yesterday the Bruins at morning skate tried to recover and figure out what the hell went wrong in Game 3. A lot of people have been frustrated how stifled that first line has been during the series. Well, Bruce Cassidy was asked whether he was considering shaking up his lines for tonight's game in order to spark some sort of offense.
Yes, could change quickly. Met with them today, went over a few things. I think they recognize where they've left offense on the table.
So what I read in the full quote is that he is going to start line the first line as is. And then if things continue to go in the direction as they have the last several games, he's going to switch it up. As a matter of fact, the practice lines were pretty much the same yesterday
morning.
No Backus. Let me see. I've got it written down here. They had all of them. Coleman was on the second line. Yep, Backus. It was Johansson because he's back. Johansson, Coyle, and Heinen on the third line. Then Nordstrom, Achari, and Wagner on your fourth.
I don't see any harm with dropping Pastrnak to skate with Krejci, who's been one of your best players.
Give it a try. I mean, maybe it'll split up defensively.
Heinen skated with the top line before.
And he was good, and he found success.
He was fine. I mean, I don't see the harm in this. And maybe it gets Pastrnak away from defenders that he can't master, at least in this series, because Toronto has last change.
Toronto has last change, so I don't know how much that affects him.
Well, at least force Toronto to make some alterations to what they did.
Yeah.
I mean, they did, they solved that first line. You saw it happen in the playoffs last year. Tampa Bay shut that first line down, and the Bruins struggled. And the Bruins didn't have an option to split up the first line last year. This year, they do.
Maybe they are going to split up the line, and Cassidy's just going to wait until during the game.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Would I play my hand?
Sure.
So I wouldn't take anything what was going on. And it's not like they need to practice together. I mean, you know, I think Pastrnak and Krejci could play fine together. I mean, maybe Pastrnak's too fast for Krejci. Maybe they think that. I don't know.
They've had success. I mean, that's the one thing you can look at. However, it's just that first line is so good, except for the past three games, that you wonder, I mean, do you just try to let them figure it out? And I think that what Bruce Cassidy's plan is I think it's a solid one. Just keep him in at least a period, see how they do, and if they suck, then maybe you switch things up. Then it's almost desperation time at that moment.
Yeah.
Because then it's just like, what are we doing? We're sitting on our...
I don't think you should wait. I think you should do it right at the start. I think you should just try something new at the beginning, and if it doesn't work, then you can go back to the way it was in Game 3. I mean, I don't see why you would continue to bang your head against the wall here.
All right. What do we got coming up, Ridge?
All right, let's get to that Columbus Blue Jackets game, because on top of a epic win, we also have some great audio from Phil Esposito, and apparently our sluice in the other room detected a little something during a post-game press conference afterwards.
And people are disappointed.
Very Max Kellerman-esque.
Yeah, and then I read a very funny thing about the Max Kellerman thing. I just read it online. Apparently, this is no doubt or fart, and the way that it was handled was incredibly professional. Stephen A. Smith apparently went freestyle to save his buddy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, he made an executive decision, and when you listen to the clip, you can figure out what it was. All right, we'll be right back.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power-T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, there was a big upset yesterday.
Yes, there was.
Puck is down. The Lightning chases back into their own end to pick up the puck. But I got two words for you. Series sweep. The unthinkable has happened, and history has been made at Nationwide Arena. The Columbus Blue Jackets, the only franchise in the NHL who had not won a playoff series, no longer holds that dubious title. As a matter of fact, the Columbus Blue Jackets may have just pulled off the biggest upset in National Hockey League history.
Well, after jumping out to a 3-0 lead in Game 1, the Lightning were outscored 19-5 by the Blue Jackets the rest of the series. And, of course, the President's Trophy winners, they ended up got swept in the first round. Final score, by the way, it was a little closer than it sounds. 7-3 at the end. They just started piling on with some open net goals.
Got a couple. They pulled the goaltender with 2 minutes left, and they got two goals out of it. Yeah.
Yep. So 7-3, the Columbus Blue Jackets will advance to the second round. We want to talk about how big of a collapse this was. Tampa Bay had 128 points, 62 wins, 20 losses in 82 games, and gone in four versus the 8 seed that they beat. I think they beat them every time. As a matter of fact, they beat them 8-2, 4-0, and 5-1 this year. So they're gone, and all I wanted to hear the entire time was, how's our man Phil Esposito doing? Because, I mean, you want to talk about just the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. Let's check
the
in.
The passion from Phil Esposito.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Joseph trips Bjork.
Oh, yeah. Was that a JC?
Jesus Christ.
Is that right out of the box? Are we JC in it?
Now, Joseph trips Bjorkstrand and a penalty coming up.
Boy, oh boy.
Joseph is after it in the far corner. He couldn't get it away from Clendenning. Left circle, Panarin. Cross ace, Dubois, right circle. Put it in front. Save made. Scoring the rebound, Bjorkstrand. But it's 4-3 Columbus.
Okay, so that's
his analysis.
That
cannon, Jesus. I know, that cannon's so annoying.
Oh, it's loud as hell.
Get ready if the Bruins win this playoff series, man. Lots of cannon fire.
They wouldn't play them next, would they? They would play them next. And they look so good, man.
They had an answer for everything. Tampa Bay came at them real hard, end of the second period. They had it tied at 3. Tampa Bay's got all the momentum. And then, bam, Columbus gets the goal right back. And more cannon fire in the building.
A goaltender who's been on fire since the third period of this first game. So I'm not. I would not be wild about playing this game.
I just am worried about getting past this round.
What I'm saying is, if you get past this round, I wouldn't think you're walking into a team that you necessarily want to play.
But you would rather be playing this team than playing
Tampa.
The Lightning.
Yes.
So I mean, it's definitely a easier road. Doesn't mean it's easy. But how you feeling about this whole thing there, Esposito?
Anderson at the center ice looking toward the open net, and McDonough blocks the attempt. He's after that rebound, and he keeps it alive for Stamkos.
Oh,
lost to Panarin, and he scores.
I can't believe what I just saw.
Panarin makes it 5-3 with 1:53 left.
I love
no analysis.
None. Just yelling at the TV.
No analysis whatsoever. Just sitting there making noise.
Seriously. In my own living room, I could have made that. I could have done that.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
Now, Joseph trips Bjorkstrand.
That might be my favorite. And then, this might just be too sad. This is the 6-3 goal. Because even the seventh goal, like even the Blue Jackets didn't even get excited about that. I was like, all right, we've already won this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk dagger upon dagger upon dagger. How you doing, Phil?
Kucherov holds. A centering feed over the stick of Point.
Here we go.
And it rolls out to center ice. Texier is going to have an empty net goal here. Yep. That'll make it 6-3. Texier's second goal tonight.
Oh, man. I bet they already had, their plans, the calendar had X's on it for the next, month and a half. And now they're like, all right, Phil Esposito on the golf course, enjoying life, instead of sitting there yelling at the ice.
As opposed to the, constant... research that he's doing in the constant, he's at the rink 12 hours before the game.
I was just going to say, I don't think Phil's life varies a lot, whether or not he has a game to play, or game to broadcast. Sorry.
I kind of want to hear, can I hear what could have been? Here is Dave Mishkin. So the Stamkos, for a minute, it looked like they were going to turn things around. I mean, for a while there, matter of fact,
it was 3-3 at the end of the second period.
There was a goal that was called back that Columbus had scored that you thought, all right, this is because it was offsides. And you're like, well, this is the moment. This is where they're going to turn things around. I think it was 2-1 at the time. But let me take a listen to what what could have been here.
1:23 left in the first. Jones is checked by Sorelli. Kucherov has seen a high slot. Stamkos walks the left circle. Score!
Big goal.
Stamkos!
Big goal.
Okay, big goal. Thank you, Mr. Color Analysis.
Yeah. Mr. God, this is what I have. You're talking to my friends.
I mean, he's
on the couch like, that was a big goal.
He said,
then you give each other a high five.
He said, shoot it. Just like your dumb buddy does.
Yeah, his lifestyle does not change whether they're playing or not.
Now, here is when they tie things up. Let's take a listen.
Right circle, Kucherov shoots off the outside of the post. He had a good look. Savard grabs it and chips it for Atkinson, who clears it. 3-2 Columbus late in the second. High slot point, knifing in front. Beckenthal score! Brayden Point! It's 3-3!
A power play goal. Wow.
I wonder if he could name everyone in the Tampa Bay Lightning.
No.
There's not a chance in hell.
Not if you gave him 2 years.
Nope.
Not a chance.
No. I mean, what a life. He travels on the team plane. He probably knocks down about 10 butt heavies.
Another shift is over here, please.
Yeah. Yeah. He just sits there and he sleeps till 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He gets up, gets something to eat.
I like a jacket diet with my lunch, please.
Yeah. He has a few cocktails before the game.
Just never get rid of him, man.
They're not getting rid of him.
77. I mean, at some point.
They're not keeping him because he's any good.
No.
I mean, they're keeping him because he brought the team there. They probably owe him money. Yeah, and then he probably gets to the rink, no joke, at 6:15 for a 7 o'clock.
One of the worst executives in the history of professional sports. A great player. I mean, Bruins fans are a great player. One of the worst executives. Ruined the Tampa Bay franchise when he got it there and somehow has wound up in this job. It's really impressive.
Well, it's where
he
belongs, to be quite honest.
Jeez.
Because that's the first thing I think of now. And I mean, this whole series, I've been like, oh, what's he going to say?
He's going to say nothing.
Well, that's the best part.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, listen, you might say it's immature, but it has become a big story. The biggest story in sports.
It is.
We will have no commercials, just the headlines, and then we will discuss.
Anderson at the center ice looking toward the open net, and McDonough blocks the attempt. He's after that rebound, and he keeps it alive for Stamkos.
Oh,
lost
to
Panarin, and he scores.
I can't believe what I just saw.
Panarin makes it 5-3 with 1:53.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range. State-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power Tee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off-season.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network. Work.